My husband got a phone call as he was saying the words, Va'avtas Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha. He was in the middle of Kriya Shema. And at 1:20 in the morning, davening in my parents' house, because he hasn't been able to go to shul since he got to America in January, except when we were there for Pesach. This came 3 hours after my husband's grandfather, who was 99 and a half, was niptar. After they had a very long, beautiful life, and he passed away peacefully. He and my husband were very close, and, you know, it's our firm belief that he went to the heavenly courts above and beseeched on our behalf, and Hashem brought us. We had also gotten brachos from Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein, and Rabbi David Abuchatzira literally the day before. So all the kochos and all the tefillah in our community and around the world must have come together, and Baruch Hashem, Shai had his transplant. The surgeons were thrilled with how things went surgically. But unfortunately, because of the fact that Shai's body was rejecting his previous liver for over a year, he has a lot of cells in his body that are fighting, they're primed. So with this new liver, they're trying to fight it, and so he had one episode of rejection, which they dealt with, Baruch Hashem, successfully, and then last week started another episode. And last week, the reason that this trip was organized was because there was a real concern when the second episode of rejection happened so quickly that maybe this would be a repeat episode that might last, and maybe they wouldn't be able to get things under control. So Baruch Hashem, B'chasdei Shamayim, through the tefillah and all the amazing work of his doctors, his numbers are improving now. They're still not normal, but they're moving in the right direction. Now he has another infectious complication. It seems that with every two steps forward, there's one step back, but we are definitely in the forward direction. And in terms of how he feels, he says he feels great. And he stopped walking in January because his muscles were so wasted. And then he started walking with a walker a few weeks ago, and he actually started walking without his walker. Little 5-year-old with a little walker. He was able to put the walker aside on Friday and take a few steps around the medical unit. The staff is cheering for him since he's just this cute little number with a lot to say, and he's around adults all the time, so his vocabulary is better than mine at this point. My husband likes to teach him all these fancy words, and he just thrills everybody with his little mouth. His body has to catch up. He still, again, needs a lot of help in terms of all the different complications that are still ongoing, and that Lo Aleinu, hopefully he won't have. But thank you for the tefillah, and that's basically the story of where things are holding. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm going to say tefillah saderech first without the microphone. So if you can't hear me in the back without the microphone, you should say tefillah saderech on your own, okay?
Birshus, Yehi Ratzon Milfanecha Adonai Eloheinu V'Elohei Avoseinu Shetolicheinu L'Shalom V'Sa'atzideinu L'Shalom V'Sa'adricheinu L'Shalom V'Sismecheinu L'Shalom V'Sa'adyeinu L'Mechoi Chatzeinu L'Chaim U'L'Simcha U'L'Shalom V'Sa'atzireinu L'Shalom V'Sa'atzileinu Mikaf Kol Oyev V'Oyev V'Listim V'Chayos V'Os B'Derech U'Mikol Minei Furanios HaMisrakshos U'Va'ois L'Oylam V'sishlach b'racha b'chol ma'asayadenu u'sneinu l'chein u'lechesed u'lerachamim v'einecho u'v'einecho ro'enu v'sikmleinu chasadim toivim v'sishma kol tefilatenu ki ata shomea tefilat kol peh baruch ata adonai shomea tefilat.
Amen. I'm giving it, I just want to make sure it says it.
And he says you should see Tulasa there because it doesn't need to be like a 2-hour journey. You should.
It's 50 miles. Especially on this road. There's things that are.
Yeah.
Anytime I hit the highway.
Okay. So while we're on the way
to Kever Rachel. We'll learn a little bit about Rachel Imenu and Beis Lechem and Kibrei Tzadikim in general. And why we're going, I always think it's a beautiful opportunity. This is one of the most beautiful roads in Eretz Yisrael, just to look out, to take in Eretz Yisrael. It says in this week's Parsha Shlach, when the Meraglim came back from spying out Eretz Yisrael, they came back and they said, Eretz Zvas Chalav Udvashi, it's a land flowing with milk and honey, but, right, that always, that but, okay, but, there's Anakim, there's giant men who live there, Ve'aretz Ocheves Esir Shverhi, it's a land which consumes its inhabitants. And what Rashi says, Meraglim, what we're reporting was, when they came to Eretz Yisrael, all they saw and all they heard was Levayot. There was one giant dying after another. And they saw all around them death, and they were so taken aback. This land must be so difficult to live here that even these giant men, these physically very, very strong men, are dying out like flies. And they came back, and that's what they reported. And Rashi says, they didn't realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was creating this magefa, this plague amongst the giants, in order that they shouldn't notice that there are spies among them, and that the spies could roam freely around Eretz Yisrael. So that's the pshat of this pasuk, but there's a deeper side to this pasuk, and that is anything that they said has to mean something. So why did they say the land consumes its inhabitants? They could have said the land kills its inhabitants, there's the plague. Why is it the land, and why is it this concept of eating? How does land eat its people? So Rabbi Nachman explains this in, I think it's Torah Samach Zayin, where he explains this concept and he intertwines it with the whole concept of coming to Kibrei Tzadikim. We find that when we talk about Eretz Yisrael, we're always talking about either eating, Eretz Ocheles Eser Shveha, or as we saw in the Teichecha a few weeks ago, the Ha'aretz Takiyas Yoshveha, the land will vomit its inhabitants. If someone, Chalila, doesn't merit to stay in Eretz Yisrael, the land vomits them, and that's how a person leaves Eretz Yisrael who doesn't merit to stay here. So, very interesting. What is this concept of eating? So Rabbi Nachman explains that coming to Eretz Yisrael, living in Eretz Yisrael, walking in Eretz Yisrael, davening in Eretz Yisrael, learning in Eretz Yisrael, is not like just being in any other place. As we know, the Gemara tells us, Eretz Yisrael nikneis rak b'yidei yisurim. How do we live in Eretz Yisrael? Only through hardships. And those hardships are whatever hardships you had in coming here and living here, whether it's Misrad ha-bitachon, Misrad ha-briyut, Misrad ha-whatever, Misrad ha-ala panim, all those, whatever difference, all of the difficulty in shopping, no one packs your groceries for you, all of these things, right? All of these things, this is called Eretz Yisrael, rak nikneis b'yidei yisurim, never mind the language, right? Put that aside. So, all of these things, and this is the only way we acquire Eretz Yisrael. And if we think about it, the process of eating is very similar. How do we eat? We take food, right? And we chew it, and we grind it, and then we digest it. And the main part of digestion is, again, right? The stomach is kind of like a ma'abe mazon, a food processor. It turns it into a mush, and then it's sorted out. The vitamins go here, and the fat goes there, and everything goes where it's supposed to, and the psalm is taken out. So Eretz Yisrael is nikneis b'yidei yisurim. The process of Eretz Yisrael is, of acquiring Eretz Yisrael, is something which is a process and it involves hardships. It involves digestion. Now, if we were to pass now, somewhere here, see some kind of sheep or a cow, and I would tell you, look at this cow, look at this sheep. Tomorrow, this sheep is going to be wearing talis and tefillin and davening shacharis, right? So you would think either that I have a very vivid imagination, or stam shtriyot, but in essence it really could be true. Because if the sheep is taken, or the cow is taken, and it's shechted, and it's salted, it's kasher, and it's barbecued, and I serve it to my husband, what happened to that cow, right? That cow, or at least part of that cow, right, the parts that we're allowed to eat, that cow has now become part of our body. Our new cells, our nails, our hairs that are growing, where does this come from? This is reprocessed cow, right? We are what we eat, literally. So the same thing happens when a person comes to Eretz Yisrael, when a person walks Dalet Amos in Eretz Yisrael. It's not just that they came and they saw and they bought a cute souvenir and they took a red string from Kever Rachel and they took some nice selfies somewhere. When a person comes to Eretz Yisrael and they walk in Eretz Yisrael, they blend and merge and synergize with the land. They become part of the land and the land becomes part of them. So much so that even a person who only comes and walks Dalet Amos in Eretz Yisrael, he has acquired something in Eretz Yisrael. He has exchanged his soul for a higher soul, for a loftier soul. He moves up. He's uplifting himself, and he's also uplifting everything he does. It's a new plane of existence. It's a new existence of davening. It's a new kind of chesed. It's a new kind of limud haTorah. It's on a higher plane. And when the spies came and they said, Eretz ocheles es yoshvehi, they were very scared. They were scared of the changes of the process that they would need to experience in order to acquire Eretz Yisrael. We can't do that. It's too hard. We can't. We have to change, right? People are very afraid of change. People are paralyzed by the concept of change. We can talk from today till tomorrow how much we want to change, but to actually really change requires a tremendous amount of courage, fortitude, and commitment. And when the Klal Yisrael heard, wow, Eretz Ocheles Es Yoshvehi, we are going to change. We are not going to be on the level we are now, but everything we know about Avodas Hashem is going to be on a completely different plane. This scared them, and they started crying. And they said, no, we can't go up. We can't. We can't go up. Listen to the Lashon. Lo Na'aleh, we cannot go up. We're not capable. They doubted themselves, and they doubted their capability of really serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu on such a level. And that's what Eretz Yisrael is. Eretz Yisrael automatically upgrades a person. It automatically brings a person to a different plane, a different recognition, a different conscience, and a different soul. The organization, Nefesh B'Nefesh, I assumed, it's named after the Zohar HaKadosh, which says that when a person comes to Eretz Yisrael, they exchange their Chutz La'aretz soul, their Chutz La'aretz Nefesh, for a new Nefesh, for a higher Nefesh. It's an automatic process. But unfortunately, someone who doesn't merit. So the longer we stay, the more we're here, the more we're absorbing, the more the higher level. So Rabbi Nachman says also that the same idea of Eretz Yisrael also exists by Kivrei Tzaddikim. And this thought is also mirrored in the writings of the Vilna Gaon and the writings of the Drisha Saron, who was a Talmud of the Ramban, so we're talking about Rishonim, who they write that being at a Kivrei of a Tzaddik is on the same level as visiting the Beis HaMikdash was in the times of the Beis HaMikdash. Just like the Tzaddik, Tzaddikah, the Tzaddikas, Ruach Limeinu, who we're going to now, just like in their life, their physical body was a ma'on, it was a chariot, it was a merkabah for the Shekhinah, so therefore, even in their p'tirah, even in their death, the Shekhinah is still attached to their goof, to their physical goof, which is in the buried in the caver, and therefore there's more presence, there's more consciousness. It's not only being in Eretz Yisrael having that upgrade of a neshama, but it's in even higher level as we exchange our neshamas for a part of Rachel Imenu's neshama, or whichever Kivrei Tzaddikim we're going to. Now, Rachel Imenu is buried in a place called Beis Lechem. We just read about Beis Lechem, right? We read about it in Sefer Rus, how Elimelech and Naomi and their two sons, Machlon and Chilion, they left Beis Lechem, they left the house of bread, ki haya ra'av, because there was a famine in the land. And that's such an interesting pasuk. Could spend quite a long time discussing it. The how HaKadosh Baruch Hu was teaching us such a deep lesson, that here in a place called Beit Lechem, house of bread, there was a tremendous rav, there was a tremendous famine. It was empty. And what was it empty of? It was empty of the schus of Rachel Imenu. Why? The Gemara tells us, there's a machlokes in the Gemara, matai tamu schus avos. When did schus avos end? Either it ended by Hoshea ben Be'eri, who was the prophet during the times of the first Beis HaMikdash, or it ended by the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. So Zchus Avos ended. What do we have? The Gemara tells us we have something else. We have Zchus Imahot. And the Biala Rebbe in the Sefer Mevaser Toiv explains that when we walk, when we go in the ways of our Imahot, of our mothers, we evoke their merit. That we still have. Zchus Imahot. The promise that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made to Rachel Imenu, which we're going to discuss in a minute, it still stands no matter what. This is a promise, an unconditional promise. So Rachel Imenu, we know, is buried in Beis Lechem. She is not buried with our other avos, with our other imahos in Hebron. She's not buried with her husband in Hebron. She's buried by herself in Beis Lechem between Yerushalayim and Hebron. They were on the way, they were traveling when she passed away suddenly, when she gave birth to Binyamin, our youngest son. And we know that when Klal Yisrael were taken to Golus, they passed by the tomb of Rachel Imenu, and they begged their captors, please, please, just give us a few minutes here to daven. And by the way, Yehoshua and Kalev, when they came to Eretz Yisrael in this week's Parsha, in Parsha Shlach, they stopped to daven in two places. First Hebron, and then Beis Lechem, that they shouldn't fall prey to the Atzat Meraglim, to the advice of the other Meraglim, of the other spies. So here, Klal Yisrael is being led out of Eretz Yisrael after the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash by their captors, and they beg their captors, please allow us just a few minutes, just let us part from our mother for a few minutes. Let us say goodbye to her. Let us try to evoke her merit. And at that time, at that exact time, in Shamayim, there was quite a rash. Avram Avinu had already stood before the Kisei HaKavod. Sorry, Imenu had already stood before the Kisei HaKavod. Yitzchok, Rivka, Yaakov, Leah, Moshe, Yosef, Aaron, David had all stood and pleaded the case of Klal Yisrael and begged Hashem to promise that he would return Klal Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael. And comes Rachel Imenu, and she stands before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rachel Mevaka al Bonero, Me'ana Lihinachem, she refuses to be comforted. She will not stop crying. Rachel Mevaka al Bonero, Me'ana Lihinachem, al Bonero ki einenu, because her children are not here. And we know, of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered her tefillah in the merit that she gave over to her sister, Leah the Simanim. She didn't want her sister to be embarrassed the night that her father deceitfully married Leah to Yaakov instead of Rachel. And she pleaded before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered her. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Nini koilech nivechi ve'einayich min dima, ki yesh sachar lefulaseich v'shavu banim legvula. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised her, yes, I will return, you will be rewarded, Yesh tikva la'achriseich, there is hope for the ones in the end, and your children will return to their borders. Okay. End of story? Not exactly. The Sefer Mevaser Tov, the Biala Rebbe asks, this is such a hard pasuk to understand. It's hard to understand why would Rachel accept comfort. She has to wait thousands of years to get that comfort. If she has to stand by as a mother and watch her children go through all kinds of hardships. This galus, that galus, Inquisition, Holocaust, Piguim. Why did Rachel Imenu accept this? Why was she comforted with just words and not action? Why didn't she say, I'm sorry, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Not 2,000 plus years, now. What did she accept? So the Sefer Mevaser Tov said, we have to understand what the request was of Rachel Imenu and what the promise was of Rachel Imenu. The request of Rachel Imenu was, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I understand that Klal Yisrael need this galus. I understand that Klal Yisrael have to begin rebuilding their relationship with you from scratch. They have to learn to understand who you are from a point of darkness and not from a point of light. They have to go and redeem all of the hidden sparks of Kedusha all over the world. I understand this, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised me that not one soul will be lost, that each neshama will merit its tikkun, that every soul will be brought back to Am Yisrael and be brought back to Eretz Yisrael. I'm not mevateret, I will not give up, and not a single soul should be lost. Every soul should merit redemption. Every child in Klal Yisrael, every person in Klal Yisrael, should merit to come back in the building of the third Beis HaMikdash and Tchias HaMeisim. I don't give up on anyone. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to her, that is exactly what I was waiting for. I was waiting for you to feel responsible for all of Klal Yisrael, for every neshama of Klal Yisrael. If we think about it, Rachel is the mother of very few, right? There was very few when they were passing by. It was mostly Shevet Yehuda, her sister Leah, and mostly Kohanim and Levim, also her sister Leah. There were very, very, very few Binyamin. There were very, very few people from the Shevet Binyamin, as Shevet Binyamin was the smallest Shevet before Pilagish Begiva, the terrible, tragic event that happened in the end of Sefer Shoftim, when there was a civil war amongst Klal Yisrael, and there were a total of 300 men between the age of 20 and 60 left at that time. Even though this is many years later, they always remained in a very, very small Shevet. Right? Most people in Klal Yisrael today can trace themselves back to Shevet Yehuda. I haven't met anybody, I'm sure there are people who could trace themselves back to Binyamin, but they were a very, very small Shevet. Yehuda was called Yehuda. Even in the Megillah, Mordechai is called Ish Yehudi, right? And then, Ish Yemini. He's a Yemini, but he called himself a Yehudi. He was the Shevet Binyamin. Yehuda was the main Shevet. And yet, Rachel Yemenu says, I'm not Mivateret. I have an Achrayas. I have a responsibility. I daven for all of my sister's children like I daven for my own children. When I taught many years ago in a school, a Beis Yaakov school in America, at the opening kennis for the teachers, the Menahelis Revitzin Prager, Revitzin Shalamis Prager, she's now Revitzin Keller, she spoke and she told us teachers, I want to know from each one of you that when you bench licht for Shabbos Kodesh, that you don't just daven for your own children, but you daven for every one of your talmidos, and you cry tears for every one of your talmidos, just like you cry tears for your own children. This is the koyach of redemption. This is the koyach of Rachel Imenu. The feeling for others in such a deep place. And this Be'ezras Hashem Hayom, today, should be the koyach and the geula and the Yeshua. For Yishai Shalom ben Malka Gittel, that kol ha-kahal hazeh, this kahal is coming to daven for a boy, just like we would daven for our own child. Rachel Imenu's name, her whole name reflects this essence, and her mitzvah reflects this essence. Rachel, Rav Ginsburg teaches, the shoresh of Rachel is a two-letter shoresh, ches lamed. This word, ches lamed, is the word just like we use in Tehillim, Yachel Yisrael Hashem, Klal Yisrael will hope to Hashem, Chaloisi Pnei Elokim, I long to see the face of Hashem. The Shoresh Ches Lamed and the word Rachel is all about hope. It's about longing. It's about coming to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, desiring to come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and hoping, putting our trust in Hashem, that we will all merit Yeshua, and Klal Yisrael will all merit Yeshua. Now Rachel Imenu, the midah that Rachel Imenu bequeathed to us, is the midah of Malchus. Malchus is the ultimate combination of everything physical and dressing it in Malchus, dressing it in its ultimate spiritual form. Rachel Imenu gave us the mitzvah, she didn't give us the mitzvah, but she's very connected to the mitzvah of Challah, which is also in this week's Parsha. After the Meraglim came back from spying, and after Klal Yisrael cried for Bechi L'chinam, and after HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them the Gezeira, they would have to wander in the desert for another 38 years. Even though, ladies, you should know, at that time when the Meraglim came back, they were less than 11 days from coming into Eretz Yisrael and building the Beis HaMikdash. They were so close. And we have to think every day that we're so close. Who knows? Maybe we today, right now, are less than 11 days from the Geula Shleima. So here they came back, and they got the Gzeira, and they were broken. They were totally broken. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Lech,
to go tell them, give them a mitzvah, give them haramas rosh, give them simcha, give them hope. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, Bameh, which mitzvah should I teach them now, right? Moshe Rabbeinu hadn't taught all of the mitzvahs yet. What mitzvah should I teach them? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, go teach them the mitzvah of challah. This will give them haramas rosh. This will give them happiness. Now the first time I read this medrash, I was shocked. Why would a mitzvah, which challah is a mitzvah, it's something we give to the kohen, and it's a mitzvah which is talui ba'aretz, and I'll explain why we do challah in chutz la'aretz momentarily. It's a mitzvah talui ba'aretz. It's the seventh mitzvah talui ba'aretz. There's peah, shichacha, leket, trumos, meisers, right? It's the seventh. Why would that comfort them? They did not, they were not mafresh challah in the midbar. They only began being mafresh challah once they came to Eretz Yisrael. Why would that comfort them? Adarama. If I was told, by the way, there's this amazing mitzvah challah, where you, it's a tremendous Eitz Ratzon, you'll connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you'll be elevating the bread that you eat, it will now be bread that will be mechazek all those who eat it with emunah and bitachon, but you won't merit it. You're going to stay in the desert. You're dying here. You're not going to get into Eretz Yisrael. Where's the nechama there? But when I thought about it more, and I realized, wait a second, challah is the only one of the mitzvos which are talui ba'aretz, which are gifts to the kohen, which we do in chutz la'aretz. Derabanan, right? In Eretz Yisrael, it's d'oraisa. That's why you have somebody, let's say in chutz la'aretz, who forgets to take challah erev Shabbos from their challah. When they cut the challah, they can cut off a piece, and that could be challah. But if you forgot chas v'shalom in Eretz Yisrael to take challah, you have a real problem, because the mitzvah is d'oraisa. It's a mitzvah that Klal Yisrael took with them into the Golus. And in that sense, it was the nechama. The nechama was, you can take HaKadosh Baruch Hu with you wherever you go. You can always long to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yachel Yisrael, that mitzvah of challah, which is the same letters, the same shoresh, as the mitzvah, as the name of Rochel Imenu, Ches Lamin. This you can take with you wherever you go. You go into Golus, you're going to take this mitzvah of challah, you're going to take the essence of challah, right? The mitzvah is not only about the technical part of the mitzvah. There's a huge relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu which grows from the mitzvah of challah, which is, it's an expression of our longing to come close. It's an expression of all the mundane things we're doing, baking bread, feeding, such, it would seem like such something which is so tachas hashamesh, something which is so under the sun, something so worldly, so artsy. No, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whatever we're doing, Hashem, we're focused on you. Everything is about you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and improving and growing and developing a relationship with you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is the essence of Rochel Imenu. It's the essence of challah. It's the essence of saying, we don't give up. We're davening. We put our trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We put our trust in our Barbei Olam. And just like Rochel Imenu, she davened for others. And she had such a passion about not giving up on any neshama of Klal Yisrael. This is why Klal Yisrael is so drawn to Kever Rachel. Because when we come to Kever Rachel, just like we said in the beginning, right, when we come to visit the Kever of a Tzaddik, we get a piece of their neshama. We bring it with us. That's why Tzaddim, they have a minhag, that they tie something that belongs to them, whether it's a scarf or even a bag, they tie it to something next to the Kever, usually it's a tree, because the concept is that my neshama is tzura, is bound, is tied to the neshama of the tzaddik who's here. That's where the minhag of the right, the bendula comes from, right? It's in essence, I keep it connected to that part of Rochel Imenu which is now inside of me. So when we're coming now to Kever Rochel, we're going to be taking with us when we go, not just a souvenir. Our neshama are elevated, and Rochel Imenu gives us a piece of her awesome, wide, rachav neshama, expansive neshama. The love of others, the hope in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the trust in people that they can improve, make changes, and come back, and we don't need to be scared of this. All of this comes from the message of Kever Rochel, and of course, Beis Lechem, it's called the House of Bread. But the house of bread, if we don't put the challah in the bread, if we don't put the rachel in the bread, if we don't put that hope in the bread, and that's Elimelech and Naomi when they left Beis Lechem, and they left in the time of raw famine. The famine was not only that there was no food, it was a time where people weren't thinking of other people. And Elimelech left. He left. Why did he leave? Chazal tell us he couldn't. He had money. He had grain. He couldn't handle that people were knocking at his door saying, please, can I buy grain from you? Please, can I have a truma, a donation? But rather, he was neglectful. And he couldn't bear that that pain of somebody else. So he ran away from it. This is a famine. This is the opposite of Rachel Imenu. Rachel Imenu can't see somebody else's pain and ignore it. When she sees somebody's pain, she's completely absorbed in it. She feels, she's one with them. She's completely in touch with them. And this is the koyach of Keter Rachel to be Poel Yeshuos. And it's something which gives us all hope. And this is why Klal Yisrael is drawn to Keter Rachel. Everybody knows that Rachel Imenu's Yortzeit is Yud Aleph Cheshvan. It is the second biggest Yortzeit celebration, Hilula. Okay, which the word Hilula is such an interesting word that the Zohar HaKadosh uses for a Yortzeit. Hilula means a wedding, a chasna. It's the joining of Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Shadchan, right, who brings us together, is the tzaddik that we're going to on their Yortzeit when they have a tremendous amount of koyach. Of course, like Bo'emer, Rabbi Shimon, that's the most celebrated Yortzeit, the most marked Yortzeit in Eretz Yisrael. And the other one is Rachel Imenu, Yud Aleph Cheshvan. I always ask my students, I say, you know when Avraham Avinu's Yortzeit was? You know when Sarah Imenu's Yortzeit was? You know when Yitzchak? A lot of them know Yitzchak. I'm sure a lot of you know Yitzchak also. Rivka, Leah, Yaakov, anyone, right? But we all know Rachel Imenu. Every child in Gan comes home with the project on Rachel Imenu's Yortzeit, right? From the Gan, we're taught Yud Aleph Cheshvan, this is a day. It's also Binyamin's birthday in Yortzeit. But we don't mark it. There are people who go to Kehra Binyamin. But it's not common, right? Moshe Rabbeinu's Yortzeit next. But more people. This year, the Yortzeit, it was pouring rain. Pouring rain. Rachel was Mevaka al Baneha. She was crying from up in heaven. The place, this whole Shetach here, was packed, right? There was thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people. We're so drawn to Rachel Imenu. We come here because Rachel Imenu is so drawn to us. And Rachel Imenu has so much hope in us. And her, the key to this hope, the kli is the naisa ba'al chavero and the echpatia. The bearing the burdens, bearing, feeling the pain and also feeling the joy. You know, last summer when we had a lot of, I and Toiva had a lot of events. And I mentioned something that I want to mention again because I want to be mechazik this idea. That it's so important, Achinu kol beis Yisrael hanesunim batzara. We're brothers bitzara. But we have to remember also, Achinu kol beis Yisrael hanesunim b'simcha. That when there's a simcha also, when we make that extra effort to come to someone's bar mitzvah, to come to someone's bris, to come to a chasna, that extra effort we should know, it's such a chizuk, and it's such a joining, and it's such a blending and a synergizing of all of Klal Yisrael. So we should be zeicha, the same Yiddish has kapot, alles git, to be able that all our tefillos and bakoshos should be miskabel. Somebody gave me here some other tefillos, which are now, she copied them in Hebrew and in English. How long are we going to be? Stay here?
1 hour.
Okay, so we're going to be here for an hour. That means that at 11 o'clock, if you need to use the facilities, if you could please take care of that beforehand, so that we can board the bus at 11 o'clock. Exactly, right? Okay, all right.
Yeah, nobody can hear. Just don't pull it so...
Okay, here we go. I'm not pulling too hard.
Okay.
Can you hear me in the back?
Yeah.
Okay, ladies.